KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy, windy, and 58 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. There is a red flag warning for wind and relative low humidity that'll be in effect for the KJAN listening area. For Cass and area counties to our north, east, and south, that warning goes into effect at 10 a.m., and for the counties off to our west and southwest, 11 a.m., and that'll last until late this evening. In the news, the Griswold School Board will hold its regular monthly meeting following a work session this evening in the central office of the middle school high school building. That work session, which begins at 5 p.m., will cover financial planning and board goals. Then during their regular session, the Griswold School Board will act on security bids following a receipt of updated information. They'll also act on approving a plethora of board policies. Information will be presented under new business with regard to SENA, that's School in Need of Assistance, and with regard to the first reading of the board series 200 policies. The CAM School Board will gather at 6:30 this evening in Anita at the High School Media Center, and during their session, they'll discuss and or take action on the IASB standards for school boards, open enrollment applications, any resignations or contracts to come before them, a resolution to submit a PEPL or physical plant and equipment levy to the voters, and a resolution authorizing a lease purchase agreement for two buses, along with snow removal bids and other administrative matters. Also meeting this evening at 7 o'clock is the Audubon School Board at the high school, and during their session, they'll take action on a school budget review committee request, goal to foster financial sustainability, approve mid-year graduates, district needs assessments, which includes goals for high-quality programs, and an updated facility plan along with personnel matters. In Elkhorn, the Exira EHK School Board will meet in a conference room at the high school beginning at 7 p.m., and their business includes approving the certified annual report, as well as other reports, approval of the Shelby County Hazard Plan, a contract with the Clarinda School District, an early retirement package for certified staff, and an administrative contract. And prior to adjournment, the Exira EHK School Board will move into a closed session for the purpose of evaluating the professional competency of an individual whose appointment, hiring, performance, or discharge is being considered in order to prevent needless and irreparable injury to that individual's reputation, and that individual requests a closed session. Well, a documentary about school consolidation in Iowa will premiere this week on Iowa Public Television. The one-hour program was produced by the Des Moines Register, which compiled a year-long series on the issue. Register journalist Jason Clayworth says the story is essentially about rural decay.
Really, this is a story about some really seismic demographic changes in Iowa and the consequences that they've had on specifically rural communities in the state.
The documentary, titled Lost Schools, follows a pair of communities over a one-year period. That includes the town of Corwith, as its residents voted to close the Corwith Wesley Laverne School District.
The other community that we focused on was the town of Gowrie, where the Prairie Valley School District and the Southeast Webster Grand School Districts, for the first time, whole grade shared their middle and high schools.
The two stories highlight the sadness of the loss of a school and the struggles people face when consolidating schools.
And so really, it was emotional for both communities because we're talking about great change. You know, this is something that a school is something in a community that is very personal for the residents because, you know, grandparents, parents have all attended, in many cases have attended these schools.
Lost Schools will premiere on Iowa Public Television this Thursday at 7 p.m. The program will also air Sunday at 1 p.m. Well, data from Realtor.com finds Iowa's capital city has a higher percentage of so-called millennials buying a home than any other city in the country. In the first 6 months of this year, 59% of the borrowers who took out a loan to buy a home in the Des Moines metro were between the ages of 25 and 34. Iowa State University finance professor Tracy Turner says home ownership rates are rising faster in mid-sized cities like Des Moines, where there's plenty of housing available.
Is it supply or demand? Demand in the sense of there's something unique about millennials at this point of time in their life that gives them the incentive and ability to buy, maybe, or is it that the housing stock is still recovering and the millennials happen to be here at the right moment to buy when prices are relatively low?
According to the National Association of Realtors, the median age of a first-time homebuyer nationally was 31 last year, and 65% of first-time homebuyers were married. Turner says people tend to marry earlier in Midwestern cities.
Married households are far more likely to purchase. So among first-time homebuyers, they will be disproportionately married. And what often happens is that young people in less urbanized places, we tend to see them marrying at younger ages. They're more likely to marry.
The total number of homes sold throughout the state of Iowa is higher so far this year as compared to last, and homes that are up for sale are on the market for a shorter period of time. Well, bison from Wind Cave National Park in South Dakota are scheduled to be transferred to preserves in South Dakota and other states to help form new or boost existing herds. The National Park Service says about 70 bison are part of this year's relocation effort. The bison transferred out of state are going to Missouri, Iowa, and Kansas and Illinois. The transfers are allowed under an agreement between the National Park Service and the Nature Conservancy. Wind Cave's bison herd is known for its high levels of genetic purity and diversity. The approximately 70 animals are set to be transferred will be among the dozens of bisons that will be blood tested tomorrow. The park tests the bison every year. The animals also get an ear tag and are weighed and measured. Well, you won't have much trouble traveling most of Iowa's waterways this fall. Tim Hall with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources keeps an eye on the water levels.
The USGS takes about 100 stream gauges around the state and comes up with a composite stream flow rated against normal for this time of the year. We've been running just slightly on the wet side of normal for the year, so stream flow is a little bit higher than it would be normally this time of the year, which is a pretty good place to be.
Hall says the water in the streams and creeks is important.
Stream flow contributes to a lot of things. It provides for habitat for fish and aquatic species, for migratory birds. It's an ecosystem indicator. So we kind of like to see stream flow normal.
He says stream flows often drop down in the wintertime.
Being a little bit higher than normal is great going into the winter. So it's good to have that in there. It's going to replenish farm ponds. It's going to keep low-lying areas with some water in them, so that there's plenty of moisture out there when the spring rolls around.
The statewide average precipitation was a little more than 4 inches in September and ranked it as the 50th wettest September in 143 years of records. Finally, in state news, a group that opposes a proposed oil pipeline across Iowa says it's asking a federal agency's regional office to be more stringent in permitting a private company access to waterways in the path of the project. Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement says it wants the Army Corps of Engineers District Office in Rock Island, Illinois, to change how it is reviewing permit applications from Dakota Access LLC for parts of a pipeline that will also run through North Dakota, South Dakota, and Illinois. The Corps of Engineers helps to oversee the country's waterways. A district office spokeswoman says it is following the policies in place for reviewing the applications. The two sides plan to meet soon. The Iowa Utilities Board is reviewing a separate permit application for that pipeline. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.